you would like to take your Pew Bibles or your New International Versions and open up to the book of James chapter 3. Our scripture reading today will be verses 13 through 18. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 855. 855. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James writes this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word this morning. Before we go on any further with the service, I wonder if we could take a moment just to recognize and thank our vets who may be here today. If you are a veteran of any of the military, branches of the military, would you please, sir, or would you please stand? I want to thank you, each and every one, for your amazing service to our country. I want to thank you that you were willing to step out in very uncomfortable circumstances, I'm convinced, and be willing to sacrifice all that you have in order that we might be able to assemble like this and have the freedoms that we enjoy. I want to thank you for just being willing to give everything that you had in order to help us. You are incredible, incredible people. And folks, as you look around and see these who are standing today, make certain that you take a moment to say thank you. We're going to do that as a congregation at this time, and we want to thank each and every one of you. May God bless you as you now enjoy the fruit of the labors that you have put in. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would open up once again to the book of James, chapter 3. The book of James, chapter 3. Last week, we looked at the subject of being filled with God's Spirit, of being completely and totally yielded to God. To allow the Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing, to purify us, to cleanse us with God's righteousness, and to rebuild in us the image of God that was marred deeply by the sinfulness of mankind. Now today, I want us to look at a subject called wisdom. You know, not all of us have wisdom. But all of us has access to wisdom. Every one of us. And if you notice in James chapter 1, verse 5, James says this, But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You see, we may not all have the great wisdom that is necessary to live a life that honors God, a life that blesses our fellow believers, a life that encourages our families, a life that really just opens up our lives before this world. But we all have access to that kind of wisdom. You know, I see a lot of people in our world today who believe that they're just self-made. You know, I am wonderful because of all of the things I have been able to accomplish. And because of my wonderfulness, you know, I am just blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, that's earthly wisdom. We're going to look at that a little bit. But when we genuinely look for the wisdom that God has, that he wants to pour out on us, God gives us access to that wisdom freely. And this fifth verse in chapter 1 talks about that. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it to you. Now, as we keep that kind of thought in our minds, let's go over to chapter 3 that we read earlier and look at verses 13 through 18 of this chapter. And I want to share with you out of this passage six things. I want to share with you the evidence, the evil intent, the earthly, the erosion, the evident source, and then the elevated. And so let's look at this, because as James is looking in this book of wisdom in the New Testament, as he is looking at the church and the followers of Jesus Christ at that time, he is saying, look, I want you to understand that any wisdom that you can gain in this life has got to be rooted in faith. For if your wisdom is to be godly wisdom, your faith has got to be a godly faith. And if your wisdom is going to be that which holds eternal values and eternal blessings and blesses others, then you got to get out of the mindset of the world. The world today is really, really pushing to have believers walk away from their beliefs, or to at least keep their mouths shut in the form of public debate. I don't know if you have heard this story or not, but my gratitude, I guess you want to say, goes out to a 27-year-old pregnant mom in the Sudan. I don't know if you have seen this story or not. She is a Christian, was raised a Christian, and is now, the Sudan is very, very Muslim controlled. Her husband is a Christian, but he's an American citizen. He has a dual citizenship. One is in America, one is in Sudan. He is a Christian. She is a Christian. They have a small child now, and she is about 8 months pregnant with their second child. She was arrested because of her Christian faith. Because of his citizenship, they don't dare to arrest him at this point. But because of her, she's a full Sudanese. But because of her faith, she has been arrested, has been declared guilty, and in, under Sharia law, they determine what is to be her fate. And they have placed this judgment on her. Because you are a Christian, you are an adulteress to Islam. Although she was never Islamic. Her father was an Islamic man. Her mother was always Christian. They got together, had this child. The father left as soon as the child was born. So this woman was raised by her mom in a Christian household. Now, they've said to her, recant your faith in Christianity and declare Allah to be God, and you'll be released. Sounds like earthly wisdom, doesn't it? What would be the honest thing? She's got this one little child. She's ready to have another one. And she says, I will not renounce my faith in Jesus Christ. So they arrested her. She's put in stocks. She's 8 months along. The sentence is this. You will give birth to this child. You will nurse this child for 2 years. Then you will be taken into the public square. You will be beaten with 100 lashes and hung. Now, there's your fate. You can escape all of this. Declare Allah as God. She says, I will not renounce my faith in Jesus Christ. The pressure has been put on. You've got this little child that needs to be raised. You've got this other one that you're going to have. Simply convert. All will be well. I will not renounce my faith in Jesus Christ. I dare say that there aren't a lot of Christians in these United States that would take that position. Because they would fall for earthly wisdom. But she has sought the wisdom of God. And she is sticking through. There was an interview with her husband, who is very distraught. He went to, because he's an American citizen, and his wife is in prison. He has gone to the U.S. Embassy in the Sudan. They said, there's nothing we can do. Go to the U.N. They went to the U.N. The U.N. said, sorry, she lives in a Muslim nation. Her father is Muslim. We'll not do anything. And so he has come to the United States, not physically, he is still there, but he is approaching this country saying, will you please help me? My wife is unlawfully imprisoned even by our constitution, which, by the way, the Sudanese constitution says there is freedom of religion. But when Sharia law comes in, folks, freedom of religion is gone. Wisdom. What do we do? The wisdom of man says, it's not a big deal. It's just religious statement. Don't worry about it. Nobody pays any attention to that stuff anyways. Just save yourself and save the influence of your children. Protect your husband through all of this. Just recant your faith in Christ. And she says, I will not. I respect her. I really do. In James's time, that this writing's going on. There are terrible things like this taking place with Christians all over. You've heard the story of all that was taking place in Rome and the Colosseum and how people were torn apart by wild animals and beasts and how they were just basically butchered in the Colosseum for sport and for fun in all different types of fashions and that kind of thing, and yet the people stood firm in their faith. They would not recant their faith. And you've heard the story of Peter. Peter, when it came time for his demise, when they were taking him out, they were going to crucify him like they did Christ. And Peter declared, "I'm not worthy to die like my master. Crucify me upside down." And so he was crucified upside down because he felt he was not worthy to die in the same fashion his Lord did. But he didn't give up his faith. We need now to be praying for godly wisdom. For as these days grow more and more closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we're going to see more and more issues like this. And we'd better be prepared. And so James, he knew that his time was coming very quickly. And so he's wanting to get this message to the people. And he's talking about the stability of their faith. And if you look through the book of James, that is the central theme of the book of James. And that is a holding on to your faith by living a public example. Everywhere you go, even in this particular time, you live your faith, no matter what. In James's eye, there was no such thing as a closet Christian. You lived your faith publicly everywhere that you went. And so he's telling the people, if you want to have wisdom of God and not the wisdom of the world, begins in your position of faith. Follow your faith. So let's look at these six things, and I'll cover them in 2 minutes apiece. First of all, I want you to notice the evidence. Look at verse 13. He says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior for his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom." Now, as James is talking here, he's saying, look, who among you can really live a godly example? Who is it who is wise and understanding? If you really are, the wisdom and the understanding here is, do you understand God's plan? Do you understand who God is? Do you understand what God wants and what He expects? Well, if so, then live out your faith. Live out your faith in faithful obedience. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's pretty easy to come in these doors and live out your faith. It's not so easy out there in the street. It's not so easy out there in the shop. It's not so easy in a lot of places. But it's pretty easy here. But the day is quickly coming when it's not going to be easy to even meet like this. And so we need to understand that as James is talking, he says, look, if you're really wise, who among you is wise? Then you'd better show by the good behavior of your deeds and in the gentleness of wisdom. Do good works. Do those things that honor God. Do those things that bless the brethren. Live your life publicly in a gentle spirit. Secondly, I want you to notice the evil intent. Look at verse 14. He says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. That, you know, that's an interesting statement that James makes, because what he's saying here, he's saying, look, if you are a person who is filled with an internal sin, if you are an individual who is filled with bitter jealousy or selfish ambition, I will conquer everything, you know, and everything's going to be my way, and boy, if it's not my way, then I'll somehow find a way to accomplish that. He says, look, if that's what the spirit of your heart is, if that's what the internal thing of your heart is, don't be arrogant about it. Don't lie about it. Deal with it. You know how you deal with that kind of thing? You repent. That's how you deal with it. You go before God in humbleness. And in your humility before God, you plead for His forgiveness and for a righteous mind to replace the earthly mind that's in you. You ask for Him to cleanse you and to make you what He wants you to be, so that you get over yourself and get under His control. If you have selfish ambition, you're lost. That's what he's saying. If you have an arrogant spirit, you're lost. Wow. Repent. Be humbled before God. Be restored in your spirit. Be made over into the image of Jesus Christ. And have hope. I'll tell you, I'm fed up with TV preachers who think that the sun rises and sets on them because the sun rises and sets by the command of Jesus Christ. He is the one who has established the order of things. Humble yourself before God. Be renewed and restored. Otherwise, your heart is filled with evil intent. Number 3. Look at the earthly in verse 15. He says, this wisdom, the kind that says it's okay to be bitterly jealous and to have a selfish ambition and to be arrogant, and lie against the truth of the word, because you see, you're lying against the truth of the word when there's not humility and servant spirit and a servant attitude within you, then you're lying against the word. Who's going to be the greatest in God's kingdom? He who is the servant of all. He who is meek and gentle. That's the person that's going to be the greatest in God's kingdom. And he says, look, if you're the opposite, if you're filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition and you have that arrogance and you're lying against the truth of the Word of God, if that's what the part of you is, this kind of wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural. And look at what the third aspect of that is. He says, demonic. It's literally demonic to have that kind of an attitude and that kind of a spirit. You're not controlled by God, but are instead controlled by the very demons of hell. That's demonic thinking. I love old music. I'm not just talking the rock and roll stuff. I like some of that too. I'm talking about Old Blue Eyes. Anybody here ever hear Old Blue Eyes? Probably one of the greatest voices in recorded music. Sang one of the most disastrous songs in the history of the world. I did it my way. I did it my way. One of the most earthly-minded songs ever to be recorded. And I liked Old Blue Eyes. But his wisdom in that song was earthly. Doesn't matter what God wants, do it your way. Doesn't matter what's right, do it your way. That's earthly. That's demonic. Don't fall for the earthly mindset, because it'll destroy you. God will judge those who are arrogant in their spirit. And that judgment is not going to be hearing the words, "Well, you did your best. Enter into your joy." No, that's not the judgment they're going to hear. It's going to be, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity." You who work iniquity. Those of you who plug in to demonic mindset, depart from me. You want real wisdom? Go to God. Follow His plan. Be humble in your spirit and in your heart. Let Him be in control. And you'll have it. Number four. Notice the erosion in verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, everything falls apart. That's the erosion. And he's talking about the erosion of their spiritual life. When you become jealous or you become arrogant in your spirit, your spiritual life begins to fall apart. And this is what happens. You begin to elevate yourself by looking around at others and saying, "Oh, I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. I'm better than that one." You see, you begin to take your focus off of where you stand in relation to Jesus, and you begin to focus on where you stand in relation to others. And so your vision goes from here to here. And then pride begins to swell up a little bit. "I'm better than this one. I'm better than that one. Because I'm better than this one. I'm better than that one. Surely God's going to take it easier on me than He is on them, those old rotten people, you know." And then you find yourself thinking you're better than God. "Why do I have to listen to Him?" And if you think this isn't true, look at the situation, the condition of our world today, where mankind rebels against God, rejects His principles, rejects everything because man thinks he's better than God. And so we do the wise thing. We take those people and put them in our universities and say, "Hey, we'd like you to be teaching our young people when they come through, because they need to be, you know, they need to be, what's the word I want? Exposed to, you know, different types of philosophies and that type of thing." And pretty soon they're attacking the truth of the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, folks, that has gone down from our universities down to our high schools, to our elementary schools. And now our condition in this world is, read your Bible at home or in church because it's not welcome here. Talk about God at home or in the church, but don't do it on the streets. Talk about God at home or in the church, but whatever you do, don't share it here in the plant.
how far we've fallen.
When our founding fathers founded this nation that we have so many people that have suffered and died for the freedom, the establishment of this nation was based upon religious freedom. Even in our Constitution, it says that the government shall not restrict the free exercise of religion. And you know what our Word tells us, or the Word of God tells us, what our beliefs are? That you go into the highways, you go into the byways, you declare Jesus Christ, you win people to Jesus Christ everywhere that you go. Now our nation says, no, you don't do that anymore, you keep it quiet. Our founding fathers have got to be spinning in their graves, folks, because this nation that we live in now is not the nation that they intended it to be. They were getting away from that type of government control and establishing a nation of religious freedom. Now they're telling us to be quiet. How are we responding? We're being quiet. How sad. It's earthly. It's not the kind of wisdom that God wants, but that's how eroded our faith has become. What's the evident source? Number 5, look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we want real wisdom, we must go before God in purity because His wisdom is pure. His intention is pure. His intention is honorable. You know what? The intention of the world's wisdom is not pure, is not honorable, it is destructive. So James is saying, look, the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. Unwavering. A 27-year-old mother in the stocks in prison is unwavering. I will not recant my faith in Jesus Christ. She has a faith that is pure. That's the kind of wisdom that can only come from God. And then look at the elevated. Verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who make peace. You know what the reference here is? It's not to politics. The reference here is to those who help people make peace with God. They're the real peacemakers. Man is an enemy of God while he lives in sinfulness. And James says, ah, but the peacemakers, those that endeavor to help people find Jesus Christ as their Savior, build the faith, live in righteous obedience to God, they're the smart ones. That's where wisdom comes from. You want to be wise? Then be wise in the things of God. Do you want to be condemned forever? than follow the wisdom of the world. But if you're going to be a peacemaker, God's going to smile on you. And how do you become a peacemaker? Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. That's how. By faithfully obeying God. That's how. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time to please take your hymnals, open up to number 381, Open My Eyes That I May See. We're going to sing this right through. But if you're here today and you'd have to say, you know what, I have bought the lie. I have been living by earthly wisdom and I've really not been honoring God and not seeking the wisdom that only comes from His hand. If that's what you're sensing in your life today, I invite you to come to this altar, to repent of that. Give it over to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, no one here will bother you. It'll just be you and the Lord. No one will know anything except for the God who already knows everything. So if your wisdom has been that which you look at as worldly success is what's the true measure of wisdom, and you need to repent of that, why don't you repent of that? Come and get it right with Jesus. Find true wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let them go to the Lord, who freely pours out His wisdom. Seek God's wisdom today. And so if God is speaking to you, please, step out and come as we sing. We're going to sing it right straight through. Our gracious Father, we thank You. We thank You for the freedom that You bestow upon us in spiritual things. Father, we thank You that Your Word, while it is penetrating and convicting, Your Word is always truth. And now, Lord, I ask that You would bless each of us, that You would encourage us and fill us with Your great grace. And Lord, I ask for wisdom. Pour out upon us liberally Your wisdom, that we would not be deceived by the voices of the demonic, but instead we would be faithful followers of Yours that helps to build the kingdom. We love You. We thank You for Your love for us. For it's in Your name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.